your source for everything paranormal. Parax.
Throughout the ages, history has been altered by word of mouth and the misrepresentation of those who might not have been present when some of the world's most significant events took place. Channelers Barry and Connie Strom bring through the spirits of those who actually witnessed or took part in these historical events and lets them tell their stories in their own words. Welcome to Channeling History. And now, here are your hosts, Barry and Connie Strom.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Channeling History. We're the only show where we speak to guests that are on the other side. And we are brought to you every week on Sundays by the Para-X Radio Network. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I will be doing the channeling tonight.
And I'm Connie Strom, your co-host, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to our show this evening. Tonight is a very special night in that we are honored with the spirit presence of the Prophet Muhammad. Out of respect to the Prophet, we will not be taking any commercial break, and we will dedicate the entire show to his presence.
We always try to give a small disclaimer when we begin the show, so the options or statements voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits, do not necessarily reflect our opinions, those of the Para-X Network, or our sponsors. If you've listened to our show, you know that before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. So we got a lot of questions, and he's a wonderful guest tonight. So, Connie, say the prayer, and we will begin to channel right away with the spirit that was Prophet Muhammad.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God. Muhammad, thank you so much for joining us this evening, because I know you've got a lot of good information to share with our listeners. Would you like to begin with a message?
Yes, I truly would like to begin with a message. I want you to know that I am here as a messenger of God. God, Allah, however you want to refer to him, there is a single deity, and of that I can assure you. When I walked the earth, there was much uncertainty. I lived in troubled times, and today you are living in troubled times as well. I hope that many will listen to my messages tonight. I know you have many questions to ask, and I know there are going to be those that will be offended by my answers. I am going to tell you the truth tonight. I hope that many of you will listen and accept it as such. So, I know I helped Barry write the questions, and I know that there will indeed be many that do not want to hear some of my answers. But I am prepared, and I assure you that Barry is speaking my words. There is no way that anyone should be offended at Barry and Connie, because they are just simply speaking the words that I am giving them to speak. So let us begin, and thank you for allowing me to have this time.
Okay, Muhammad, did you live any human lives before you walked the earth as Muhammad?
Yes, I truly did. I want you to understand that reincarnation is very, very real. And I want you to know that all of you listening to me tonight have lived lives before the current time that you're spending on Earth.
Okay. Do you have anything further that you would like to say to the people that believe Barry is not speaking your words?
I want to assure you that he is. I know that there are many doubters out there. There were many, many doubters that believed that I was hearing the words of God and that I was speaking them. Believe in what you hear. What you hear tonight will be the truth. There will be many, many that will say it is not the truth. But I can assure you that Barry is speaking the words of the soul that you refer to as Muhammad.
Okay, what was the extent of your education, and could you read and write Arabic at that time?
My family was among the leadership of a noted tribe at the time, and they tried to give me an education as best they could. Keep in mind, at that time, there were no schools, and there were no individuals that could understand much of the ancient history that had taken place before us. I did learn to write, and I did to learn to read. I worked as a merchant, and to do that, I had to keep track of my accounts and understand what was taking place. I am not what you would currently refer to as a scholar, but I did have a basic knowledge of reading and writing.
Could you read Arabic?
I could, to a certain extent, but I was not fluent in.
Okay. How did the Quran come to you?
I would have visions, and I would have dreams, and I would receive messages in my head. I had what you would refer to as a psychic ability. I would hear messages. I would get thoughts that I knew were not my own, and I would have visions. I would see angels speaking to me in my dreams, and as I advanced, there was a time that I would actually be able to have visual contact with some of these spirits.
Okay, were you the one that translated the Quran into Arabic?
No. I was very busy during my years. I was receiving messages, and I was trying to convince those around me that I was truly speaking the words of God. It was a time that there was much fighting and militancy taking place. I did not begin to really receive the messages until later in life. And I knew that the ones around me were taking notes of what I was saying. But know this, no one ever took down the exact words that I was speaking. They would try to write or to understand what the message was that I was trying to bring to the people. But just as when Jesus walked the earth, no one was taking down words in the exact order that I was speaking. So much that came later was written from what they remembered or thought that they remembered that I had said. And in many instances, the words that I spoke were not exactly the meaning. My words were, shall we say, changed to adapt more to those thoughts of those that came after me.
So how much of the Quran was translated during your lifetime?
Very little. I would say that it was a relatively small percentage. Many of the words that I spoke were not remembered. Many, or I should say almost none of the words that I spoke were written at the time that I spoke them.
Okay. What was your faith before you received the revelation from God?
This was a time where the people worshipped different gods. They were told that there was a single God, but many of them worshipped idols. The Romans had been very big at idol worship, and it was not until the time of Constantine that Christianity was allowed to take place without any persecution. It was a time where the belief in the one God was understood by the minority of people. So I did grow up at a time where everyone was worshiping other than the one God. I was influenced by that, and early in life, I did worship idols and think that they would bring you actions in the name of a Holy Spirit. It was not until I started to receive my own messages that I truly understand that monotheism was truly the way.
Okay, you've mentioned your psychic abilities. How old were you when you realized that you had them?
I actually had visions dating to my childhood. I never understood what they were, and I was afraid to actually bring such thoughts to my adult family members. That was a time where if you spoke of seeing and hearing messages, they would think that you were not right. And it was quite possible that many who had mental disabilities would be actually executed because people did not understand. In those days, if you received messages, they thought that you were receiving evil messages. So I had to be very careful. As I grew older, I started to receive more messages. And by the time I was approaching 40 years of age, I had no doubts that I was truly hearing the words of the divine messengers and the words of God.
Okay, one of our listeners in the chat room would like to know, what are Dijin? I don't know that I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Dijin were individuals that came to me in my dreams. I saw them and I could actually have conversation with them. And when I returned to the other side, I realized and was told that they were actually alien figures that were sent to me to help bring me messages and to help give me guidance.
Okay, when you got your first divine message from God, what was your reaction?
I did not believe it. I knew that there truly was a God or a divine spirit presence. But when you first hear the messages of God, it is with disbelief. The first thing you think about is, why would I be chosen to receive these messages? And that is a question that you truly will not not find an answer to until you return to the realms of heaven. But all I can tell you is, at first, it was pure disbelief on my part.
I can understand that. Did you really perform miracles and healing, like blessing food and creating springs of water?
Much of the miracles to which I'm attributed have been exaggerated through the years. But I was given the miracle of healing. God came to me in my prayers, and he gave me a prayer that I would speak. I would say this prayer, and people would be healed. As in the case of Barry, it is very difficult to convince others that you truly are speaking the words of God. Just as he gave Barry the ability to heal, he also gave me that ability. And that was what allowed me to convince others that I truly was speaking his words.
Okay. Why did you choose to live such a simple and modest life while being an Arab tribal leader?
I wanted to be believed by the people. I felt that it was very important that they would associate me as being with the common people. In many instances, tribal leaders were resented, and I was trying to convince people to follow a different way of life and to follow a God that many at first truly did not believe in. If I had come to those people with all the trappings of wealth, then it would have been very, very difficult for me to convince them that my message for the common person was truly the words of God.
Okay, another question from the chat room. What did the moon deity mean to the culture at your time on Earth?
The moon deity was a very important idol. Many people believed in the powers of the moon, the sun, maybe the stars. It was a very important deity. And in my childhood, I believed in it as well.
Okay. Is it true that you were thinking about suicide when you felt that you had stopped receiving revelations from God?
I had a deep depression and disappointment. There were times that I would ask him for guidance and help, and I would not receive the answers, because God knows that you must use your own free will to do things, and that he does not want to influence many of the actions that you take through your free will. So there was a time I was asking him questions that concerned my free will, and I was not receiving answers. And I was very distraught. I thought that I had lost my abilities. And yes, there were times that I actually considered taking my own life. I would like to tell anyone listening that they should never, ever consider suicide. You're sent back with life plans and lessons to be learned. And when you commit suicide, you shorten those lessons. And you will have to return and learn those lessons in future lifetimes. So no matter how difficult your life might be, never ever consider taking your own life.
Can you describe the circumstances of your migration from Mecca to Medina?
In the beginning, as I was trying to preach the words of God, the people of Mecca did not approve of what I was trying to do. They were worshiping idols, and they felt that the words that I were speaking were not accurate. They were threatening violence, and many of the people that were trying to follow my words were being criticized and mistreated, and some even were being killed. I felt that it was best to leave Mecca and to go to Medina so that I could speak the words that I was hearing without the thought of persecution.
How did you convince the Arab tribes to reconcile and come under your rule?
It was a time of much disorder in the Arab world. I convinced them that by following a simple truth of the one God, that they could join together. And if they joined together, they would have much more power than they would have as individual tribes. I was also being able to convince some of the leaders because I had, as I told you, had the gift of healing. I used that gift to convince many of the tribal leaders that joining together with me, that they would have divine guidance and that it would lead to unity in the future.
Can you describe the circumstances of your return to your hometown of Mecca?
As I gained more followers in Medina, I had the ability to raise an army, and I returned to Mecca with a very strong military force, and the people of Mecca realized that it would be fruitless to resist, and we returned, and many of the people of Mecca followed the example of the other tribes and became my followers.
Can you tell us about Abu Bakr, who was one of the closest friends who supported you?
Abu was a longtime friend of mine. He supported me. He helped bring followers to me. And he helped to convince the leaders of other tribes that I was speaking the truth. He, in life, was truly one of my best friends.
Okay, and forgive me if I don't pronounce this properly, but can you tell us about Ali ibn Abi Talib, who grew up in your family and is considered by the Muslim Shiites as the heir to your teachings?
Ali was also one of my close friends and followers. He was a very strong military presence, and he was a very good support for me. There were times that he actually saved my life in battle, and he was another friend who was a strong supporter until my death.
Okay, at the time of your death, did you name a successor?
I did not, and that was a great mistake that I made. I thought that all of my friends that were close to me would be able to continue in the traditions that I had tried to arrange. I did not believe in life that there would be such dissension after my passing.
Can you describe the moment of your return to heaven? Did you pass through that tunnel of light that we hear about, and who received you there?
When I returned to heaven, it was a most magnificent time. I did see what could be perceived of as a tunnel. And an angel came to me as my soul was passing from my body and led me through this tunnel-like place where there was an incredible light. When I arrived to the other side, Jesus was waiting for me. He told me that he was very proud of how I had lived my life and what I had accomplished. There were many angels. There were many of my family members there that had passed. It was a wonderful time. I knew that I was truly home. And my guides were very supportive of what I had accomplished. They did point out that I had made mistakes in my life, and I understood what those mistakes were. Upon entrance to the realms, I took my place in the highest realm close to God, and there I have remained to serve him since my time as Muhammad.
What would you say are the most important lessons that you learned from living on earth?
There were many important lessons that I learned. The biggest lesson, I think, was I learned of the extensive suffering that individuals have while living incarnate lives. I learned that there were many that would take advantage of others. And I learned that there were many that would try to mislead the people and keep them from truly understanding the simplicity of the message of God. I learned that greed and the desire for power was one of the most evil energies that humans had to resist. I learned much. Sadly, much of those learnings are not available until you pass to the other side and truly understand what is taking place when a soul lives an incarnate life.
Okay. The Mahdi, meaning the rightly guided one, is a figure who, according to Islamic belief, will appear at the end of times to rid the world of evil and injustice. Is Allah Mahdi coming?
A simple answer to that is no. There will never be an end of time as a result of the acts of God. There may be a time that humans destroy themselves, but that will be because of their free will. The story of Al-Mahdi relates to the story being told in the Bible in Revelations. Christians believe that Jesus will return, and Muslims believe the Mahdi will return at the end of time. Since I can assure you that there will be no end of time at the hands of God, I can also tell you that Al-Mahdi will not be returning at that time. However, know this. God sends back his messengers, and he tries to have souls return to lead the people to the teachings that he speaks. The teachings that he speaks are very similar for all of the world's great religions. He teaches love, coexistence, understanding, and a very simple message of treating others as you want to be treated. So I assure you that he has individuals returned to try to bring you those messages. You are hearing these messages from an individual tonight that is sent back to bring our words from the other side. So even though the Mahdi will not return at the end of time, there are many messengers that God does have return.
Where's the real Mecca?
Mecca is in the general location of where it is being recognized today. There have been other religious locations, but the place in what is currently Saudi Arabia is fairly accurate to the real location of Mecca.
Why are there no female prophets?
In the times around when I walked the earth, women were not allowed to be educated, and it was felt that only men could perform the acts of bringing information to the common person. There have been women sent back, and they have acted as prophets. However, because of the way people looked at women during those days, they were not believed. Take a look at the Bible, and you will see that there are women that acted as prophets. Mary Magdalene is a perfect example. And she was successful in teaching the words of God in Christianity. But in the Arab community, women were regarded much differently. I wish that everyone would understand that there is absolutely no difference between male and female when they are on the other side. When women do speak that they are spreading the words of God, men would do well to listen.
Okay, your teachings say that every good Muslim woman must wear the veil. Can you explain that?
The wearing of the veil is an old Arab tradition. A man did not want other men to look upon the faces of beauty of their wives. They did not want the men to desire the wives of others. It was felt that the veil would help prevent others from seeing the true beauty of another man's wives. In my time, I thought it was a good thing. I did not want men distracted by desiring other men's wives. That would only lead to violence and warfare. I felt that the veil was an expedient that would help prevent many actions that would distract from our messages.
Muslims pray 5 times a day. What is the correct way to pray?
You must understand that God, or Allah, hears every word of prayer. Muslims pray 5 times a day, and that is fine. However, it is more important that an individual tries to live a good life and follows the teachings of God. If an individual prays, shall we say, a single time a day, and leads a great life and follows the words of God, that is quite sufficient. Individuals pray to have their sins forgiven. If an individual does not sin, then prayer, asking for forgiveness, is not required. What it all comes down to is a common sense approach. If an individual prays to have his sins forgiven and then goes out and conducts those same sins, then he cannot expect those sins to be forgiven. Forgiveness only takes place when an individual understands that they have sinned and that they want forgiveness and truly want forgiveness of those sins.
So that's basically how they obtain forgiveness. They truly, truly repent for what they've done, and they promise to not do it again.
Yes. An individual is judged for his actions. Negative actions cannot be forgiven by praying many times for forgiveness. It comes down to how an individual acts. An individual shows love, takes anger from his heart, and lives a good life, there is little need for forgiveness.
Okay. Are the stories of the ancient prophets taken from ancient manuscripts, or are they inspired by God?
Both. Some of the ancient prophet stories were handed down, some of them verbally, some in writing. And some of those ancient understandings were given to people as messages of God. It may be that angels would come to them and tell stories. It may be that they, in dreams, would hear these stories. But it is of both those combinations.
Okay, the Quran says that you spoke to invisible beings different from humans called jinn. Oh, we already discussed that. Sorry about that. Okay, according to the writings, you said that prayer can change destiny. Any further explanations on that?
When you pray to God, he understands that something is on your mind and that you need guidance. He can give you that guidance, and that guidance can change your destiny. So if you pray and follow the directions that you were given, then prayer truly can change destiny.
Okay, there are different interpretations of riba. Many believe it's lending money at interest. Would you please tell us the meaning of riba and how it applies to our modern times?
In my time, it was very easy to take advantage of individuals. There was no monetary system, so individuals would control the money. Those individuals could charge interest or abuse others. And I felt that that was not in the way of the teachings of God.
Okay. The Quran warns us against the influence of demons. Are they real beings, and how is the best way to get rid of them?
Evil energies are very real. The evil energies can enter individuals, and they can act with negative actions and can be thought of as demons. The best way to avoid evil energies is to live a good life. Pray to God for help and guidance and protection. That is the best way to get rid of them.
Okay. Many interpretations of Islam forbid alcohol. Was that your intent? And if so, why?
In my time, individuals would drink to excess, and it would lead to poor decision-making and often to violence. I felt that if alcohol was outlawed, then it would be for the good, and those individuals would have a better chance of living a good life.
Okay, what's the real meaning of monotheism in Islam?
In Islam, you worship the God Allah. That is a single God, and that is the true meaning.
Okay, what is your opinion of the world today? Do you have any ideas on how things could become more peaceful in the Middle East?
We watch the world today with great sadness. There are many countries that hate other countries, and we fear that those countries could take actions that would lead to great violence and possibly even erase the presence of humans from the earth. People must follow the words of God. If they do that, then all will be well. It is that simple. But there is so much greed and wealth in the world today that it will take much to change things.
Okay, there are many people in the Muslim world who still believe in the idea of jihad and martyrdom in order to spread your teachings. What is your message for those people?
My message for those people is to stop. Jihad and martyrdom is only taking lives. All you need to do is follow the peaceful teachings of Islam. The people that follow this peaceful teachings of Islam are wonderful, wonderful people. They will find their rewards in heaven. Those that teach the idea of jihad and martyrdom are teaching violence to others, and they too will find out that those actions are not going to be met with rewards in heaven.
Okay. There's been a resurgence in the practice of Sharia law. It often involves violent actions such as stoning, whipping, and amputation against individuals violating the law. What is your opinion of Sharia law?
In my time, there were only very basic ways of punishing individuals that would often lead to violence, whipping, amputation, etc. Today, there are many other ways of finding justice. Sharia law also is not kind to women. Women should be treated with equality, they should be educated, and they should have an equal place with men. Sharia law was fine in the early times, but in modern times, it is difficult to have it apply properly.
Okay, some Muslim clerics ban the arts and music because they believe it disturbs the faith. What's your opinion of that thought?
Arts and music can disturb the faith in people. All you need to do is listen to some of your current music. The rap songs are terrible. They lead people away from faith. But if the art and music leads you back to learning of God, then there is nothing wrong with it.
Okay, the atheists say, if there is a God, why does he not intervene to stop injustice and human suffering? What do you have to say to that?
Injustice and human suffering is a result of the free will of humans. God could certainly do that. He could stop it. But then there would be no test or learning for the individuals. Individuals have to learn to control their free will. It is not the role of God to interfere with free will.
So he has told us. Okay, Muslims in the world now, are they on the right path?
Many are on wonderful paths. There are many Muslims who have adapted my teachings to the modern world. They live peacefully, and they try to lead others on the path to God. There are also many that are following violence in my name. they are not living as I would intend them to do.
Okay. Are all the teachings in the current Quran correct?
As in all religious writings, they have been altered through the years. From my friends that were closest to me wrote down many of my words, but in their writings, they would often incorporate what they thought I said or what they felt I should have said. The Quran is a wonderful, wonderful guide. There are many great teachings in it, and there is much that is correct. But there are many things that can be misinterpreted. The Quran, as I say, is a great guide.
Okay, we got more questions in the chat room. What is your opinion of slavery? Evidently, it was widely practiced when you walked the earth. And was that life plan made before they incarnated?
Some of that was free will and some of it was lifeline. Slavery was very common. When we captured areas, we would enslave those. It was a common belief. It was absolutely wrong. Slavery is a terrible thing. Today, I understand just how bad slavery was. But in those times, it was the way of things. Slavery was one of the things that I had to atone for when I arrived on the other side.
Okay. Are there some teachings that you would like to add or change in the Quran?
I would like to clarify some things in the Quran. I would like to clarify that it is a book of peace, love, and values. I wish that some of the wording was more clear. Scholars still do not totally understand all of the words in the Quran. I wish that some of them had been made more clearly.
Okay, what do you think about abortion? Is there a punishment for that?
Abortion is taking a life. God would never tell you to take a life. It is an innocent life that cannot be protected, so it can never be a part of the teachings of God. If you've had an abortion, understand that it was a bad thing and ask for forgiveness for it and truly believe in what you asked, then you can find forgiveness for having an abortion. But anyone that performs one will have many problems when they return home.
Okay, what's your opinion of euthanasia?
I thought that euthanasia was not a bad thing. But now that I am over here, I understand that souls have to continue through their life plans to finish what they are told they have to learn. So I do now know that euthanasia is not a good thing.
Is there ever a time that a spirit is sent back to an incarnate life against their will?
Never. Souls have free will on the other side as they do on the incarnate side, so they will never be sent back against their will.
Okay, under Sharia, women are often not treated equally with men. Would you like to comment on that inequality?
Women should be treated equally with men. They should be educated the same, and they should be respected the same. That is a difficult concept for many that believe that Sharia is the word, but I can assure you that when you're on the other side, women are equal with men.
Okay, is it proper to just pray to God, or can we pray to our guides or our archangels?
You can pray directly to God, or you can ask your guides for help, or you can ask archangels for help. There is no harm in asking Holy Spirits other than God for assistance. Archangels are there to assist you, so feel free to pray to them.
Okay. Is it ever possible for a human to learn of their life plan while they're living that incarnate life?
No. You will never be told of all the details of your life plan. Your guides may tell you portions of it. They will try to guide you towards your life plan, but you will never totally understand everything until you return to heaven.
Are there any other civilizations in the universe that live in chaos and conflict like we humans?
Absolutely. There are other young cultures. There are many worlds that are controlled by our God. There are many worlds that have been around for millions of years and are very advanced. But there are indeed young cultures that live in chaos and conflict just like humans.
Okay, there are scholars of Islam that spend their entire lives interpreting the Quran and the Hadith. You spoke of things tonight that differed from those writings. What would you tell the members of the Islam faith about those differences?
I would tell the members of the Islam faith that there are things, there are writings that have been changed through time. Many scholars have attempted to rewrite my words. They've tried to interpret what I meant, and they have tried to perhaps change wordings so that they could gain personal power, or in some instances, even personal wealth. The Quran and Hadith are wonderful documents. They should be highly regarded, they should be loved, and they should be studied. But what the scholars need to do is to stand back and think how those writings reflect the words of peace, love, and coexistence that God would have us follow. Much of the teachings of God are simply common sense. They teach you to get along with others. As he often tells Barry, what could be more simple than that? In many instances, the writings of the Quran and Hadith have been complicated and made very, very difficult to understand. If I have one thing to do over, I would have the wording made more simplistic and easy to understand. Do not think that my words tonight are detracting in any way from the Quran or the Hadith. I am simply telling you clearly and directly what I meant in my teachings. When you come down to the foundations of the teachings that are contained in the great book, you will find that my words tonight strengthen those teachings. The Quran and Hadith contain wording that were intended for the time in which I lived. Things are much different now than they were in the 7th century. You must adapt the understandings of the writings to modern times. If you do that, then members of the Islam faith can continue to lead the world. If you do not adapt to modern times, then others will assume leadership.
Okay, Muhammad, we've been really honored by your presence tonight, and we've tried to treat you with the greatest respect. What would you tell those who are offended by our treatment of your presence tonight?
I would tell them that I have been treated with the greatest honor by Barry and Connie. They have honored me by allowing me to speak, and they have shown me the greatest of respect. They have modified the questions to how I wanted them modified, and I have spoken the words that I have intended to speak.
Okay, do you have a final message for us?
Yes. I would first of all hope that you will tell others of my messages here tonight. I want the wonderful people of Islam to understand that in my time I had to do things that are much different from what they are facing today. There's much hatred in the world. The Palestinians hate the Jews. There are members of my own faith that hate each other. This is a terrible thing. Hatred is a terrible, terrible thing. I wish that all members of the Islam faith would come together, show love towards others, and understand that if we are to progress, hatred has to become a thing of the past. When I speak to you tonight, I know that many of you are doubting me. You're doubting you are hearing the words of the Prophet Muhammad. You're doubting that Barry has the ability to speak my words. Once again, I assure you that what he is speaking are truly the words of the Prophet. My words are not much different than the messages he brings you when he brings you a message from Jesus. Jesus was God incarnate. I am a soul that has served God many, many times, and he asked me to return to bring messages to the people of the Middle East that would formulate a religion where they worship the one God and where multi-theism would become a thing of the past. I did my best to do that. My words have endured, and I am so honored by the way that I am still respected and thought of in the world. Know that the true path is through love, is through treating others as you want to be treated, and that my messages must be adopted to modern times. So I thank you for listening tonight. There may be a time that I come back to you and we'll speak again. But until that time, Allah blesses you and you will find peace.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that, Muhammad.
Yes, that was another great show. And thank you so much for coming forward for us. Next week, we're going to channel with Albert Einstein, one of the greatest minds that ever lived. It will be another very interesting show. If you have questions or recommendations for that show, send us an email to channelinghistoryonparax@gmail.com. I hope that you enjoyed tonight's show. I know that the Prophet Muhammad was an incredible guest, an incredible energy, and that he spoke words that are truly for all. So please join us Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Parallax Radio Network, and we will return.
And I would also like to thank you all for joining us this evening. Have yourself a wonderful week, and God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Channeling History. Tune in again next week for another electrifying episode, as we never know who will make an appearance or who will come through the portal. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2020. Our story begins by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.